Good morning, community of faith. My name is Marco Monroe, and it's a pleasure to be with you this morning. I'm going to ask you not to disconnect yourselves as soon as the preaching is over, because we will give you details on our church's reopening. Well, the next couple of weeks, we will be talking about, meaning this week and the next week, we'll be talking about a very important topic. We're going to concentrate on the concept of pain and suffering. We'll have a Bible study on pain and suffering. And let me tell you why I think it's very important to openly talk about these topics. I know that we've been studying Psalms, and we lightly touch these topics and how to bring our pain to the Lord and how to process suffering. But we need to talk about the concept of pain and suffering and then how to live with it. Because let me tell you something I found. Around the end of May, Jonathan Steingott, I don't know if this name rings a bell or not, he was a lead singer in a Christian rock band, pretty well known in the U.S., called Hog Nelson. And at the end of May, he wrote a letter which he published in a newspaper for some strange reason. And in it, he claims not to be able to believe in God anymore, and he had to be honest with himself. And although he was struggling with different things, you know, I was reading about it, one of the main reasons he said this, he did this, he wondered how come a loving, merciful God allowed pain and suffering in the world? Why so much pain? Why so much suffering? Why hurricanes, earthquakes, illnesses, you know, etc.? He said he couldn't understand it. But, you know, that is one of the most common questions that people have when asked about their belief in God. It's usually the first question people ask. And there's a reason for that. The reason is that it's not an academic question, you know, or a historical question, you know, who is this king or who is that person or that person? Or when did the Apostle Paul arrive at a certain place? It's not academic, because this one hits our hearts, since it's, you know, part of life experiences. We've all suffered at some point. So we really want to know, as human beings, why suffering takes place. So at the end of his letter, Mr. Steingott says, "I'm open to the idea that God truly exists. In fact, you know, I'd rather he did. However, if he really is out there, he's a different God from the one I was taught." We really don't know, you know, what he was taught. The funny thing is that his father was a pastor, his father-in-law is a pastor, so we really don't know, you know, what he was taught and why he believed that this God was very different. But today, we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to shed some light in this topic so that we understand the concept of pain and suffering and how it relates to the God we believe in. So we're going to analyze why God allows pain and suffering in this world. It's a concept we should already be familiar with, but we're going to look into it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to bring your word to these people and to unimaginable places. We thank you for every individual who's listening to this, and please open their heart, make it softer. Talk to us through your Holy Spirit. Soften our hearts, dear God, so that we receive the truth that you want us to know, and so that it has an effect in our hearts and that our lives are transformed as we understand how wonderful you are. We place our life in your hands, and we ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. Very well. So I don't know if you know this, but at home we watch TV in English because my children and my wife's first language or mother tongue is English. I don't know if, you know, in Mexico, the same rule applies, but there are certain rules as to how medicines are advertised. And nowadays, every medication ad must include the side effects. I think they're funny, you know, because they say, well, for example, if you need something to sleep, then, you know, take this med and you'll sleep really well. But in a softer volume and incredible speed, you know, it gives you the side effects. It can cause diarrhea, palpitations, and death, you know. So basically, either you want to sleep well or you want to stay alive. But, you know, some people believe that life should have warning labels. you know, something like this. If you want to live, you know, there's a chance of experiencing pure joy, fulfillment, and happiness, but disappointment, broken relationships, abuse, crime, and even death can happen. You know, they think it should come with warning labels. The truth is that Jesus Christ does give a warning. You know, in John 16:33, it says that in this world, we shall face trouble, affliction, pain. It's not maybe. It's not a maybe. It's 100% true. He does not explain why, but it is 100% true. Now we're going to analyze today why God allows pain and suffering. I would love to give you an answer, a straight answer, and you know, that you feel satisfied with. But the Bible says it's impossible for us to have a straight answer. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It's not a word-by-word translation, but a phrase-by-phrase translation. And it says, "For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then we will see face to face, now in part. But then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known." Now, even though we try to see things through the Bible, we don't see them clearly. But one day we will. We will come to heaven one day and say, "Oh, no wonder. You know, finally we're going to see things clearly." But we don't have that here. We can't see them perfectly. In heaven, we will see perfectly. As it is important for us to understand that we will not get and understand everything is happening, the Lord left the Bible so that we have enough information, just enough light for every step, enough information for us to follow Him. The Bible works as a lighthouse or a beacon so that, you know, in real life, a lighthouse works like this. If there's mist or a thick fog, then this light guides you. Same thing with the Bible. It leads us to God so we can be with Him permanently. The Bible gives us, say, beams of light for us to understand why pain and suffering is happening. Okay, we will see 5 beams of light today. So let's go real quick. Number one. Our God is not the creator of evil or suffering. That's the first beam of light. He did not really create evil. Now think about this. When we ask why there's pain and suffering in this world, what we're really asking is how come God didn't create a world without pain and suffering or free of pain and suffering? Why did He do things the way He did? Now the answer to that is that He did create a perfect world without pain and suffering. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, it says that God saw all that He had made, and it was very good. So when God finished creation, there was shalom. It was perfect. It was in peace and harmony. So when we see that, basically, we raise the following question. So what happened? Where did pain and suffering come from? Now, in order to understand that, we need to try to get what God was trying to do when He created the world. Now, the Bible says that God created the universe and created us to have a relationship with us, a shalom relationship with us, a perfect relationship where we would be fulfilled in Him and give Him glory for everything He'd done for us. And we would have this fulfillment in our hearts because He was our God and we glorified Him. But then, for that relationship to be real, it had to be a relationship based on love. Love is the most powerful force on earth, and it's one of the most important things for God. Therefore, His commandments are that you know, shall love your God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. So in order for us to have a loving relationship with Him, we were given free will. We chose to get close to Him. In general, we choose to get close to Him and love Him. And that's the only way it can be a loving relationship. It's voluntary. Same thing with other people. We choose to love people. You know, we were created to love Him, but it was free will. I don't know if you've ever been to these stores called Build-A-Bear. And, you know, amongst other things, you know, after you're done designing your bear, you can record a message so that every time you squeeze the bear, you know, the bear says something like, I love you with all my heart. So every time you squeeze the bear will say, I love you with all my heart. Now, does the bear love you with all his heart? Evidently not. It's a recording. So God does not want that kind of relationship. That's a fake relationship. So he gave us free will so that we chose to love him. But we misused free will. And rather than get close to him and love him, we turned away. And when we turned away and rejected our Lord, you know, the result of that was that sin came into the world and two kinds of evil came into the world. Now, the first one and what it caused is in Romans chapter 1, verse 21. And it says, for although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God or give him thanks, but they became futile in their thoughts, and their senseless hearts were darkened, which is very true. The result, when we reject God, we end up in confusion and in darkness, which is what happened to this guy Steingod. When you deny God's existence, it says, they are filled with every kind of unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, malice. They are rife with envy, murder, strife, deceit, hostility, and gossips. They're slanderers, haters of God, and insolent. So here it is telling us the first true evil that came into the world. It's the moral evil. It's the pain and suffering that comes from the fact that we're selfish, arrogant, abusive, self-centered. We have voluntarily hurt other people at some point in our lives or another. Okay? That's the moral evil. And as a society, we cause a lot of problems and we cause a lot of pain and suffering to other people because we are a very selfish and self-centered society. For instance, think about hunger in the world. You know, not only children, but people who are starving to death. Now, many people raise their fist, you know, at God and say, how dare a loving God allow hunger and starvation to take place? Why God? Meaning, developed countries produce enough food to feed every single individual in the world, you know, three times a day. Why don't we share it? Because we're worried about the money. But when we turn to God and say, how dare you allow that to happen? Now, many people are dying of simple diseases whose cure was discovered years ago, and we can literally walk to the drugstore and buy those meds to cure them. But we don't give them away for free because we're worried about the money. And people say, how can God allow that to happen? Then something else that's happening is very strange. When people with money and resources try to eradicate these illnesses, then, you know, the conspiracy theories, come along. You're trying to control the world. This is not a win-win situation. It's not God's fault. It's a moral evil that we have brought upon ourselves, okay? So, the second kind of evil is the natural evil, okay? Hurricane, earthquakes, tsunamis, you name it. Pain and suffering that's caused by the natural disasters. But the Bible says that when sin came into the world, we corrupted nature, so to speak. Genesis 3:17, after Adam and Eve are confronted by God because they were disobedient and they rejected God. God says, cursed is the ground because of you. So we really corrupted the whole system. And Romans 8:21, the Apostle Paul explains it this way, that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into freedom and glory of the children of God. Now, in chapter 8, it does say that creation is groaning in pains as is the one of childbirth. Now, when we rejected God, then we brought down the system, okay? It's very important that you understand this clearly. God is not the creator of pain and suffering. He created a perfect world, and the world had the potential to have pain and suffering. And if you ask why, well, it was out of love, because he wanted to have a true loving relationship with us. And the only way was to give us free will. Now, did God foresee this was going to happen? Of course he knew it was going to happen. So why did he do it anyway? Why did he create the world if he knew what was going to happen? Well, I can ask you a question if you are a parent. Why did you have kids? Didn't you know that they could become disobedient, rebellious, and break your heart? And say, yeah, I knew it. But there was a possibility that we had a great loving relationship and a great satisfaction. So we did it. And that's the reason why you as a parent should know and understand. That's why he created the world. That's why he did things the way he did them. So we could have free will. Now, beam light. Number three. Now, number two. Although suffering is not good, he can use it to do good things. Now, when we are in the midst of pain, we allow God to come into our hearts and do wonderful things. Now, let's analyze three of those things. There's many, but these are the crucial ones. God uses pain to draw people closer to Christ. He takes advantage of this pain, the pain that maybe we cause for ourselves, so that we get close to him. As C.S. Lewis, a famous writer, would say, pain is, God whispers in our pleasure, but screams in our pain. Now, when things are going well, we don't hear God as well as when things are going completely wrong. And he used to say that pain is God's megaphone for a world that's deaf. Maybe you don't like to hear this if you're going through a rough time or tribulation. Maybe you would even be upset by hearing this. But many of you know what I'm talking about because we have had that experience as a family as well. We've gone through very, very difficult times. When things are going well, you know, and our relationship with God was good, then, you know, we were okay with God, but not holding on to him for dear life. But when tribulation hits and when things go terribly wrong, then we scream at the Lord, you know, and we want to hold on to him for dear life. In 2 Corinthians 7:10, it says that, for sadness, as intended by God, produces a repentance that leads to salvation, leaving no regret. Do you understand what this is saying? The pain that is allowed by God is not his wrath, it's his love. He's allowing things to happen so that you get close to him, so that you grow. And we wonder, we ask ourselves, what is worse? To have this experience, a bad experience that draws me closer to God, or that have a pain-free life and never get to know Jesus Christ. You know, when I was studying for this message, I read about a lot of people, and these people have actually been drawn to Christ through a situation like this. This girl, Johnny Erickson, she's probably now 72 years old. And she used to be an athlete. Her dad was an Olympic athlete, and, you know, she was an athlete herself. And when she was around 17 or 18, she went diving into a river. She didn't calculate the depth of it. She hurt her backbone, and she became quadriplegic since she was 17 or 18. She was paralyzed from the neck down. And if you read about her life, she wrote a book about her life, then you realize that her first 2 years were terrible and in a wheelchair. The first 2 years in a wheelchair drove her to being depressed and wanting to kill herself. But then her faith started solidifying and she believed in God. But when this happened, her faith became solid. She came closer to God. And then she became stronger in her faith and she started an institution called Johnny and Friends. And they bring the gospel to people who are handicapped, who had the accidents that are paralyzed, who have a situation that limits their physical movements, and they have reps all over the world. And her whole life, she's been doing this. And one of her favorite phrases is like this: I'd rather live my life with God in a wheelchair than standing without him. And that's a reality of many people. When they're most desperate, they seek the Lord, and then he gives them peace. And if you don't understand, this doesn't echo in your mind, then you don't know your God really well. Because when you have that level of relationship with God, you understand that whatever was necessary for God to draw you closer to him was worth it. Now, what else does God do with the pain? He uses the pain to shape our character. He uses this pain so that you are closer to Jesus Christ in terms of character day by day. Now, Romans 3:4 says the following: Not only this, but we also rejoice in sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance character, and character hope. So the Bible compares our spiritual life with the life of a high-performance athlete. You know, just like athletes really have to sacrifice their lives and go through a lot of pain and suffering to accomplish great things, you know, so do we. And I remember that when I was a teenager, I used to go to a sports club, and we had these friends, these twins, and they practiced synchronized swimming, but they would compete, you know, worldwide, and they won medals and things like that. Of course, they traveled all over the world. They were very admired in the club, and, you know, many people knew them and everything. But the truth is that to get to that point, you know, we, for instance, would go from Tuesday to Friday, you know, the afternoon, and then, you know, Saturday and Sunday. You know, we'd do our homework at home, and then, you know, we'd play tennis for an hour and hang out with our friends. But they would come to the club right after their meal, their lunch, and they would train from 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. every single day. And then Monday, when the club was closed, they would go elsewhere to train. And they would train for hours and hours and hours. Most of their free time after school, they trained and they suffered. And it was a sacrifice to be able to compete worldwide and win medals. And that's what the Apostle Paul says about spiritual life. To be virtuous, to live a holy life, it's a process that involves suffering, pain, tribulation, the way we face them every day. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, it says, Jesus, although he was a son, he learned obedience through the things he suffered. So how did he learn obedience? Through suffering. And if it was true, you know, if that was true for the Son of God, why would it be different for us? It's the same process. So through those situations, our character is changed and molded. Now, number three, God uses pain to lovingly guide his children. Now, one of the things that we should do as parents is guide our children. We all know that that part of your responsibility is to guide your children. Now, how do you call the type of guide through pain and suffering? Discipline, that's how you call it. Good parents discipline their children. Bad parents let them do whatever they want. And children, you know, don't grow as safe and secure as those children were disciplined. Now in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 10 and 11 is, you know, the basic verse about discipline. And it says, for they disciplined us for a little while as seemed good to them, but he does so for our benefit, that we may share his holiness. Now, all discipline seems painful at the time, not joyful, but later it produces the fruit of peace and righteousness for those trained by it. So when there's discipline, you know, we don't like to discipline our kids. They don't like discipline, and we don't like them when God disciplines us. But he does it because his perspective is eternal. But we're very short-sighted. Our perspective is short-term. And life tells us over and over that God can accomplish positive things from negative things. You know what the best example is? What is the worst thing that humankind has done? What is the worst thing we've done? The worst thing we've done was crucify our Savior. That's the worst thing that could have ever happened, that we did crucify God's Son. That was the best thing that came off of it. The sacrifice and that Jesus Christ did brought about eternal life and salvation. We have access to our Lord. All that is thanks to Jesus Christ dying and coming back to life. Now, the worst thing that we could have done turned out into the best thing that could have happened. And all those things work for good according to God's love and purpose. So God is not the creator of pain and suffering. Now, although suffering is not always good, God can use it for good things. Now, beam light number three. The day will come when suffering will cease and evil will be judged. Now, our problem seems to be that we only see the here and now. this guy, Jonathan Steingott, wants to judge God due to what's happening right now. He's saying, why doesn't God do something about it? But criticizing God for the state of the world today, you know, or nowadays, or any moment of, you know, the world's history, it's like opening a book of 1,000 pages, reading the first page, and then trying to criticize the author for reading one page. You can't do that. Your short-sightedness does not allow you to criticize or judge God. Some of the things that we complain the most in our country, in Mexico, is impunity. The amount of people who are murdered and how drug dealers do whatever they want and they're not punished. There's impunity here and there. And then people say, how come, you know, God doesn't do anything about it? How come God doesn't punish them? Just because he hasn't done it doesn't mean he will not at some point. Proverbs 11:21 says, be sure of this, the wicked will not go unpunished, but those who are righteous will go free. Every individual that we believe are wrongdoers will pay their dues one day. They will pay their dues. And one day, in that day, one day, God will stop suffering, will cease suffering. But evil people will be judged. And if God hasn't done it yet, it's out of love and mercy. Maybe it sounds ridiculous, but he's waiting for a reason. And the reason is love and mercy. And then maybe some of these people who are not righteous are listening, and they will come to Christ. And 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God is withholding the end of the world and that judgment for some people to come to him so that people don't perish. That's why he hasn't come back yet for his church, because once he does, there's no opportunity. But he will judge the evildoers. Now, beam light number 4, my suffering does not compare with what God has prepared for me. You can compare the light suffering that you're going through. I know maybe I shouldn't say the word light, but you can't compare the light suffering of now to what's coming for us eternally. And I'm not trying to minimize your situation, your feelings, your suffering. And I'm not saying, your suffering is, you know, nothing. Don't overdo it. I do understand that we suffer, and I share it because we've had our share of difficult things, of tribulation. What I'm trying to say is that you need to put things in perspective according to what the Bible says. The Apostle Paul is one of the heroes of Christianity because he wrote basically 60% of the New Testament. His work has brought to Christ millions of people and has helped us understand the character of God. But he suffered like very few people have. Now, prior to being decapitated, because that's the way he died, decapitated, if you read 2 Corinthians 11, you can read that he was whipped 5 times, 39 times each time. You could not whip people 40 times or more because they would bleed to death. So if the law said no more than 40, then, you know, you'd get 39. And he experienced that 5 times. Then 3 of those, it was with a rod, okay? One time he was stoned to death. It's not like you throw a small stone, He was taken out of town, thrown out of town, surrounded. And then people would throw huge stones and throw the stones at him until they thought he was dead. He left for dead. He was in a shipwreck 3 times. He spent once a whole day and night, you know, in the water, floating in the water. He was chased by soldiers and Gentiles and Jewish, and he suffered tremendously. But in 2 Corinthians 4:17, it says, for our momentary light suffering is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. If you're suffering, you can ask yourself, how can you say something like this? Because the Apostle Paul and in the history of Christianity, not just him, understand that God has another perspective, and he tried to see things in God's perspective, and sometimes we can't see that. An eternal perspective, because the suffering we're going through right now is light, and it's momentary, and it does not compare with what's coming. Eternal life with him. I remember that when I was a business consultant, I used to go to Cuba every 3 months. And back then, you know, 15 years ago, things were terrible. I mean, Cuba has changed a lot. It's not doing well. But 15 years ago, it was terrible, okay? And back then, it was depressing to go to Cuba. And every time I came back sad and depressed. And I'd cry as soon as I saw my wife because it was terrible. And I became friends with many people. The chief of animation in one of the hotels would be really happy, you know, at some point. And, you know, he was working harder and he was, you know, really cheerful. And I was thinking, what's happening? The situation in Cuba hasn't changed. And then a waiter told me, well, he said, well, you know, he met somebody for him to marry and then, you know, have that person, he or she, take them out of Cuba. And then back then, Cubans would try to conquer foreigners, you know, for them to take them out of Cuba. So the chief of the entertainment staff had met a Canadian girl. She asked her to marry him. They had to wait for 3 months, and he was going to move to Canada. So he was very cheerful and happy. And the whole situation in Cuba that was exactly the same was irrelevant to him because he was happy. His focus was somewhere else. Now, he thought probably that Canada was going to be perfect. You know, we all know that, you know, no place is perfect. He was going to be better off than in Cuba, but he was going to have some trouble, you know, because the Bible says that in this life, we're going to have tribulation. So the Apostle Paul is saying, wherever we go, when we are with God, that will be eternal and perfect. And we need to see things with that perspective, eternal perspective. Truly, in 1 Corinthians 2:9, it says that things that no eye has seen or ear heard or mind imagined are the things God has prepared for those who love him. You cannot imagine the level of perfection and joy and fulfillment that you're going to have once you are in the presence of the Lord. You know, after 3,500 years, you'll realize that the light momentary suffering was nothing because the eternal glory has no compare. So you need to see things with an eternal perspective. Now, the last beam of light that we're going to see, we decide to either go bitter or seek peace and courage in the Lord. Now, we all face trouble, tribulation, suffering, some people more than others, and I have to be honest. But this is an absolute truth. It's your choice of whether you live your life in complete bitterness or seeking God. We've seen many people go through very similar situations, and some handle it by becoming bitter and making everybody else's life miserable, raising their fist at heaven, and others hold on to the Lord, and they're strengthened in their word, and then they put their pain to work, and that's what heals their heart, and that's what brings joy back to the life. And I've given you many examples. You know, the mother of a kid who was run over by a drunk driver, who gets bitter and gets depressed, and then the other mother who has the same situation and then founds the Mothers Against Drunk Drivers. Same situation, and you go about them in different ways. Some people just get paralyzed by hatred, and then others, like John Erickson, who turn the situation around and help people and reach out, and their pain, they put their pain to work and allow God to work through them, right? Not everyone gets a benefit from suffering, because the benefit is your choice. You choose whether you put your pain to work and you allow God to do things through you. In John 16:33, it says, I've told you this so that my peace will be with you. In the world, you'll have trouble, but cheer up. I have overcome the world. Now, the two things that we need right now are peace to face the present and courage to face the future, whatever comes with it. So God's answer to the question of why suffering, why pain, and I heard Tim Keller say this, when somebody asked Tim Keller about pain and suffering, God did not answer the question with an answer. He answered with a person. He sent Jesus Christ so that he lived perfectly and suffered and died for you and I, so that we could have the certainty of eternal life and eternal glory with him, and put this life in perspective so that we could live our life with the idea and with a certainty that we will be much better off when we come to heaven, like the chief of entertainment in that Cuban hotel. Now, we're suffering in very different ways right now, and each person is going about it differently. And then, you know, once I said, oh, come on, that cannot be so, you know, so hard. But you don't know what's hard, how heavy the bag is, unless you're carrying it, right? But the thing is that you need to allow the Lord to mold your life and your character through pain and suffering. Who will you go to with your pain and suffering? Are you going to keep it to yourself and get bitter? Or will you come to the Lord and have him do wonderful things through this pain and through the suffering, through you? My hope is that you will pursue the Lord. And in order to thank our God, that salvation and that sacrifice, the price of sacrifice, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. And that represents a sacrifice. The death on the cross that God used to do the best thing that could have ever happened to us. Now let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for your love. For how your word is clear, we thank you. We definitely cannot see things clearly. And your word sheds light in your character, in your thoughts. And we can see that you are a faithful God and you keep your promises. And we know that one day, thanks to Jesus Christ, and thanks to your love and mercy and kindness, because we don't deserve that, you decided to bring us into your family. And we know today that we can put our trust and our life in your hands and rest in the fact that eternity awaits with you. And we cannot even imagine how wonderful it will be. We thank you and remember your sacrifice the way you ask us to do it. We eat the bread. We eat the bread to remember you. And then we drink the juice to remember your blood was shed in the cross. Place our life in your hands so that your Holy Spirit fills us and we are reminded every day of these beams of light, so that when we are in dark moments, we remember you. In Jesus Christ we pray, amen. Very well. Okay, so we're going to tell you now how our plan will go about the reopening of our church. We are very happy and excited. And, you know, Sino would like to be together already, but we needed the government regulations to be given. So, tentatively, our plan to reopen church is June 28th. Now, there are many things and many details that we need to work out. The government is asking for a church to be certified. Okay, we need to be certified to open, and we're going to start training people, the people who serve in our church, to follow the protocol. And unless something changes drastically or dramatically, then, you know, our reopening date is June 28th. So we're going to come up with a video and an email explaining the whole protocol. And that video and that email will have all the information and all the detail as of how things will work out, okay? So please keep praying for the situation. We're still praying every day at 5 p.m. for the doctors, for the nurses, for people who are ill. We have a couple of members of our church who have been ill. And so we're still praying every day at 5 p.m. And we will continue with the videos, with the devotionals, live, the study of the Bible verse. Once we reopen, we will not have the Saturday interview, but all the other activities will be kept on Facebook. And remember that children have activities every day and teens have activities every day. And if not every day, almost every day, okay, they have something. So they are in a program right now of daily challenges. So please go into a community of faith Cancun, so that you can look at the exercise programs or the Bible study programs for children and teens and for adults. So let's pray together so that we can reopen on June 28th. We love you with all hearts and we'll see you next Sunday. God bless.